say. If you afraid, then come on with me. And I know what you came here to do. Now, let me see you get loose. It's going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome in to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Jim Donovan in for Nathan Zagura today alongside Matt Wilhelm. We had steady Brian Hoyer talk yesterday. And Matt, if you're trying to get a hold of Brian Hoyer, he's going to put you on call waiting.
Just
he
turn
is
on the TV
everywhere.
Radio. TV, radio, he here is everywhere.
Here I thought he was just doing a little picture, little thing at the Home and Garden Show.
There's a plan.
And he is everywhere. Yesterday, Mike and Mike in the morning on ESPN Radio. In the afternoon, he was on with Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk over on NBC Sports. Of course, he met with the media here in Cleveland on Saturday. We played that yesterday in its entirety. And I'm just driving in, listening to Sirius's NFL radio show. And he was about ready. He was in the on-deck circle to go on and talk again. And so he is out there sending the message. And his story is consistent. So in other words, he's not coming up with anything different to any of these interviewers, Matt, than what he said to the beat writers who cover the Browns on a day-in, day-out basis on Saturday at the IX Center. I mean, his message is, yeah, I'm very interested in what's going on with the Browns. I'd love to start. I feel I would love to compete to start. They gave me a great opportunity there. I am from there. You know, it is a special place to me. I wish Johnny Manziel the best, and I wouldn't mind competing against him if we made the right deal.
There is no doubt, and I think it's a well-planned campaign, you know.
I guess it is.
For the lack of better words. Yeah. It's almost like he's like a politician, you know, feeding the marketplace, which is, as we'll go throughout the rest of the show, is kind of dry at the quarterback position, and he's campaigning, and we'll go through our list as a top free agent quarterback in the market. Cleveland probably being the place that he would love to land, as he said in his interview yesterday from the Home and Garden Show, just being from here, has a house here, was raised here, his family's here, you know, playing for the organization that he grew up, you know, watching and loving so much. But we know Brian's going to make a business decision that's right for him, and I think this is a combination of Brian's playing follow the leader, because Joel Linta, his agent, has been setting up a platform for him to share his story, and the Browns, in some cases, have kind of brought this attention on themselves, and with some of the negative publicity associated with Texgate and Josh Gordon and Johnny Manziel, right. And Brian Hoyer is using this platform to talk about a little bit about the dysfunction, but more so about him and his situation, and again, to increase his value in a free agent market.
Stat of the day. Okay, I was reading something on Sports Illustrated, and there was a Josh Gordon note to it, okay? By the end of the 2015 season, he will have played 19 games in his NFL career.
Okay? And it would be his, what, fourth season, correct?
Right.
Wow.
Okay. He would, in that same time period, Matt, he would have been suspended for 29. That is mind-boggling. I mean, I thought it was slanted, but I mean, you know, all of a sudden I just go, wow.
Yeah,
we have spent more time waiting for him than we have spent watching him.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. And you just got to figure, you know, what's scary about it is, and that's why the one time, you know, anytime I get an opportunity to talk to people, I let them know that I was blessed to be able to play a game for a living, you know, and make a significant amount of money in my 8 years in the National Football League. And in four, Josh Gordon has lost more money in some cases than he's made in the National Football League, very scary.
That would be the next number I would be fascinated in seeing is how much money is he left on the
yes.
on the table. Our telephone number, 216-578-0850. Okay, it's going to be a heavy quarterback show, and it's probably going to be that way really for the entire, you know, off season.
Sure.
So our Ohio Business Machine's hot topics of the day, Albert Breer, NFL Network, tweets this morning that Ray Farmer likes Marcus Mariota and that Mariota currently is working with Kevin O'Connell. Now, if a light bulb goes off in your head and says, well, wait a minute, what's going on with Kevin O'Connell? Isn't he going to be the quarterback coach for the Cleveland Browns? Well, he's rumored to be the Browns' future quarterback coach,
yes.
But he hasn't officially taken the job yet. And so it seems as though he's made a commitment right now to work with Mariota to get him ready for the combine and the interviews and the whole
sure.
process of being dissected by all the NFL teams. And so it sounds as though he's going to keep that commitment and then maybe come to the Browns, or, you know, if the Browns want to wait for that.
And you can understand why there's really no rush. Of course, every team would love to say, we have our staff to go to war in 2015, but with no players here, and John DeFilippo probably in some cases still reviewing the 2014 season and evaluating what he has to work with and what are people's strengths and weaknesses, and him also, too, being a former quarterback coach, there's really no necessity or any pressing issue to go hire a quarterback coach, especially I would think that Mike Pettine, if Kevin O'Connell is essentially going to join the staff, he's got maybe some type of verbal commitment
right.
and a verbal timeline of when it would all essentially become contractual and have him here in Cleveland. It
sounds like these college things on National Signing Day. You make a verbal commitment, and
yeah.
then you hope that the kid keeps the verbal commitment. All right, well, first of all, let's go back and put the horse in front of the cart on this thing. Do you like Mariota? And I'd be fascinated, and do you know if Nathan likes Mariota? Because I'm sure you guys have talked about it.
We have.
I mean, he's the Heisman Trophy Award winner. He is, they could put him on the front of a Wheaties box. He is, you know, depicted to be, you know, All-American guy.
Yes.
I mean, great guy. Totally different than Manziel or totally different from Winston, right?
Sure.
Jameis Winston coming out of Florida State. What do you think of him?
Where I kind of weigh out on Marcus Mariota is very similar to the way I felt about RG3 coming out. Again, another Heisman Trophy candidate, but I think there's a system in place that allowed Marcus Mariota to flourish, which is why in which a guy like Chip Kelly, who's drafting behind both of the Cleveland Browns picks, would potentially be open to giving up a significant amount of either draft this year, draft next year, and maybe even a player to move up as best he can to fit into that Chip Kelly scheme. And that's for a reason. And that all being said is, if I were at the helm of and having the number one or number two pick and I was going to go quarterback like the Bucs or Tennessee Titans, but I'm actually more of a Jameis Winston guy. I would potentially take the little bit of trouble off the field, but I just think that his game and what he did at Florida State transfers into the NFL. When you look at the quarterback position from top to bottom, you hope that he has the right people surrounding him. I know that, again, tuning into Pro Football Talk, that Derek Brooks, if Tampa Bay were to take Jameis Winston, Derek Brooks is going to be like his
mentor.
Yeah, his mentor, his second father, if you will, there in Tampa to help guide him, because I think that a lot of these former players, myself included, just see that he's got the potential from what he's done at such a young age to go, you know what, almost undefeated in two seasons, win the Heisman.
Right.
And but that pocket presence that everyone talks about, that Johnny Manziel did not have, you know, that everybody struggles to develop, he seems to have it.
Mm-hmm.
And Mariota, to me, is more of a system guy. That all being said is, I think Marcus Mariota, as you said, being that All-American guy, being hardworking and diligent to develop into the quarterback that he is, I think he's the guy that can grow the most between right now or, say, post-national championship game to the combine, to his pro day, to potentially being a week one starter.
Okay, so you're going to love this kid in the interview. When they interview him, he is a great kid. He is team, selfless, okay? What did Ohio State do to him in that game? Because he did not look like a top pick to me on that particular night. Yet, when I flash back, he had a couple of bad drops on
yes.
the other end of throws on key third down plays. He had a guy drop a wide open pass that could have gone for a touchdown, but he had a kid drop one on like a third and four or five
yes.
early in the game that on their second drive.
Yep.
They would have kept that drive going. And it seemed as though, did Ohio State take him out of his rhythm or take that offense out of its rhythm? And he became a victim of that.
Sure, I think it was a combination of both. And I think what happened was, and this is no knock against the Pac-12, but I think Ohio State, having grown as a defense in the Big Ten play and then proving themselves against Alabama, they knew the way to beat Oregon is being physical.
Mm.
And we talked all week that Oregon tries to do everything that they can to combat their lack of physicality, and they have done that. But I thought what we did is we got some hits on Mariota. Of course, we got some hits on his wide receivers, and we broke the timing of that offense. We broke the sequence of which they operated. And there was a time, Jim, that in that game where they were going so fast and completing everything, and I'm like, I even thought to myself, there was no way me as a linebacker could get lined up, line everybody else around me, and then still do my job.
Right. Yeah.
They were going that fast. And I thought the physicality of Ohio State is what affected Marcus Mariota, getting hands on his wide receivers, taking away some of his throws, of course, missing some of those throws from a full game standpoint, you know, allowed Ohio State a new opportunity to get back in the game. And it just kind of like was that steamroll effect. But I thought physical, and we got bodies around Marcus Mariota, which disrupted him and broke up his timing.
Okay, now to get him though, you can't sit at 12-19. If Ray Farmer really likes him a lot, and you're really in love with Mariota, you can't. He's not going to be there at 12.
No.
Now I know some people are saying that he's going to fall, that he could go down to 6 or 7.
The Jets, yes,
but not 12.
No, not 12. And I think
certainly not 19.
And at that point,
so you're going to have to bundle things if you're going to go up.
You
right?
are. The one thing that I would not bundle is a first this year and a first next year. If I did anything, it'd be multiple picks this year, mm-hmm. maybe multiple picks in a player.
Okay.
You know, not to name names, but and that's the one question that I pose to Nathan from time to time, or even some of our callers. So we just found out the news that Ray Farmer likes Marcus Mariota. But I think also too, it's a consensus that Jameis Winston is the better of the two, which is why in which most likely he'll go number one. And that's the question I asked, would you give 12-19 and a Johnny Manziel, or 12 and Johnny and a third round pick to move up as much as you can to feel like you're going to get a second shot to get your guy?
Yeah. NFL, our other hot topic on the Ohio Business Machine's hot topic board today on the show, NFL.com has released their top free agent quarterbacks in the market. Let's take Hoyer out of it, okay? Because we know what we have there and what we had there. And who knows, it might be present tense again. Mark Sanchez.
Yes.
Okay. Mike Pettine certainly knows him. Went to a couple of big, you know, deep playoff runs with him. Had some big wins with him. You know, it didn't work out in New York then, and he went to Philadelphia. He got off to a pretty good start. He couldn't finish for them. Jake Locker,
yep.
who we saw rip the Browns up in the first half in Tennessee,
yes.
just ripped them up, but then was injured, and Tennessee seems to be tired of that injury yep. factor with him, so he's out of there. Ryan Mallett, who we saw firsthand, debut. He got his NFL debut here, played very well against the Browns, big guy. Big arm.
Yep.
He's followed the Hoyer path.
Yes, he has.
He's been behind Brady and in the New England system. Do you think Houston is that soured on him?
I don't. Yeah. And I think Ryan Mallett and Ryan Fitzpatrick are both under contract there. Oh, I mean, I know Ryan Mallett will hit the market, but Ryan Fitzpatrick, who they feel was a safe, comfortable player. But I think O'Brien down there, Bill O'Brien, I think he's got to get his guy. Very similar to the way the Cleveland Browns have mm-hmm. to go out and get their guy to build for the next 3 to 5 years. I believe in the AFC South that if Bill O'Brien can secure as good as that defense is playing, and with the weapons that they have aging in Arian Foster and Andre Johnson, they need to get a guy now to keep them winning. And I don't think they're going to let Ryan Mallett, you know, leave Houston, because he's a guy that at the right price I would love to see in a Cleveland Browns uniform.
Really? He's got the size. He's got the arm.
He's got
he really
the arm.
Does.
And he doesn't have the wear and tear, you know, of many other guys on this list.
Michael Vick, of course.
No, thank you.
Christian Ponder.
No, thank you.
Colt McCoy.
No, thank you.
Had it. I mean, it's amazing how tasted many connections it, chewed on it for a little bit. Yeah. Guys, yeah. Matt Moore seems to be happy to be a backup to me.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, there
and
are
backup
those,
money's good
there,
money in the
there
NFL,
are those
Jim.
Guys, right?
There that are.
It's a great gig if you can have it. Tavares Jackson, who's been behind Russell Wilson. Sean Hill, 35 years old.
Yeah,
Sean
that's tough. Hill. He's a good player. To me, in my eyes, Sean Hill would be – I'd rather have Brian Hoyer than a Sean Hill. Because you're getting a player with, you know, 5 less years of wear and tear. And to me, they're the same. They're smart. They're gritty. They're not going to kill you, but they can fill in and do an adequate job, as Sean Hill has done many times in his career. Detroit, St. Louis, San Francisco.
As I tick off that list there, Brian Hoyer looks pretty good to me.
He does. He does.
And he probably looks pretty good to some teams that would be shopping along if the Browns are shopping.
You're absolutely right. And that's why in some cases, Jim, I don't think, you know, maybe we go after somebody in the free agent market. Like I said, Ryan Mallett to me is the most attractive. But maybe also, too, the other name that's been rumored is Sam Bradford potentially being available if the Rams don't want to pay him that $13 million he's due in his fifth-year option. And then also, too, is potentially trading for Nick Foles. You know, Nick Foles, a guy because that whole Philly situation, again, we have Mark Sanchez at the top. It's all a matter of what Chip Kelly wants to do. He's got Foles under contract. You've got Sanchez, you know, who's an unrestricted free agent, and he's in love with Marcus Mariota. So I think Philly has a strong determination on what happens with some very talented quarterbacks.
And, of course, now he's got total control over
yes,
personnel there, which is interesting. Peyton Manning is coming back.
Yes.
Now the New Orleans Times-Picayune has reported that he next week will begin working out with a trainer down in the New Orleans area.
Yes, he has.
And that he has made his call.
It's great. It's great for football.
That he's going to come back and play. Even though, you know, his guy, Adam Gase, is not there in Denver anymore, and Gary Kubiak is there, and there'll be a new offensive system.
Yeah.
Different from the ones that Peyton has run.
It definitely will, Jim. And you know what's going to be different there is it's going to ask more of Peyton physically, because Gary Kubiak, a lot like Kyle Shanahan's offense here, a lot of those stretch runs, those zone runs, and those bootlegs, those half rolls off of it, something that we're not used to seeing Peyton Manning do.
No, not at all. So Peyton Manning is coming back, 38 years old, 4 neck surgeries in. There was that belief that his arm died at the end of last season, and certainly lost strength in it, and that was a problem, and it's certainly a problem for them in that playoff game against Indianapolis, where he did not play well in that game, and they did not win, and then the next day they fired everybody on the team. Brett Favre is going to go back to Green Bay. Now, I know you've got Green Bay connections. He is going back to allow his number 4 to be placed in the Ring of Honor at Lambeau Field. Now, I'm happy that's
me
happened.
Me too.
I mean, that would be an incomplete there.
It would. It's very similar.
So there were bad feelings when he left and how it was done.
There definitely were. And I think in most cases, the individuals, you know, in Green Bay, having spent, you know, 5, 6, 7 months there, they were in love with Brett Favre, but then there's those stories, like I shared with you off air, about, you know, Brett becoming all high and mighty there. Mm-hmm. And also, too, similarly, I was in a situation in San Diego when Junior Seau initially retired and then unretires and goes to Miami. So it leaves that organization with a very sour taste in their mouth because they put a retirement.
Right.
They want to put his number up. They want to make it feel special, like you're closing something very special in one place. And then he goes on to continue a legacy other places.
Well, here's the thing that this is an incredible story. It has a Browns twist to it. We were in Green Bay at Lambeau Field. The Browns went, and it was Romeo Crennel was the head coach of the Browns at the time, and he was going for his first win. And the Browns beat Favre and the Packers that day. Let me repeat that. The Browns beat Favre and the Packers that day at Lambeau Field. It was the day that Reggie White's number was retired
That's
and put
cool.
into the League of Honor.
Yes.
And, of course, Reggie had passed.
Yes.
And his wife was there, his children were there, and it was an extremely emotional moment. Now, we have connections with our players here. No question about it. And we want to have bigger connections with our guys here if they're going to be here for a while. I mean, that's what we're all about here. But they certainly, you know, they're right at the top of the list in Green Bay, aren't they, with the connection they have with their players, both present, certainly the past.
They definitely do. Yeah. And it was unique for me, again, to spend that time there. And it's I loved it. Having played, you know, in San Diego for 6, and of course you've got Vegas and, you know, and LA 2 hours away. So it's a faster lifestyle out on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Spent my time up in the Bay. The Bay's a little bit different feel. But then bringing it to a close in Green Bay, just a small market, it felt like a family atmosphere. You know, it's like a big barbecue of everybody around a TV watching something you're so passionate about, which is the game of football, but specifically the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, so Brett Favre is going to go back next year, and he'll have his number retired and placed into the Ring of Honor.
It's time.
Yeah, and that's the way it should be up there. So that's good. I'm sure the Packers are happy. They've been trying to get that done, and Brett's been giving them the Heisman, the stiff arm
one,
and staying down in Mississippi rather than hanging out up in Green Bay. Maybe someday he'll go back and have some, you know,
role within the organization.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
You wonder,
similar to what a lot of the, you know, the fans, the Dog Pound here have been asking of Bernie.
Yeah.
You know, what, you know,
and,
if
you
there's
know,
a role here for
and
him.
And Marino going back to the Dolphins and places like that. Okay, we're going to take a timeout here on Cleveland Browns Daily. We'll continue. You can call us up at 216-578-0850. Just getting underway. The show driven by Liberty Ford here on ESPN 850 WKNR.